Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to the second adult Sunday school class of the year. And we're looking at our outline here, and the title of today's lesson is An Introduction to Systematic Theology, Part 2. Our scripture for today is Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. Again, Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. It reads, "Wherefore," this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, "wherefore I take you to record this day, pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Heavenly Father, we pray for today's Sunday school class. We pray for every adult in attendance. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless each and every person who is in the class today. Ground them in your word. Confirm them in your word, strengthen them in your word, we pray for Jesus' sake. Lord, we need a strong membership. We need empowered membership. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing your word. Bless us today. Holy Spirit, have your way with us today. Again, Holy Spirit, we submit to your leading. We hand over the reins of this class to you. that you may lead us and guide us to all truth. For Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen and amen. This is our second Sunday school class of the year. And, of course, the outline is dated Sunday, January 9th, 2022. And let us just do a brief review of what we learned in our previous lesson, which was lesson number one. We talked about the need to study theology, or what the Bible has to say about God in a structured, compartmentalized, systematic, an ongoing progressive manner. We talked about how our study must be structured. We must have a structured format. And that's what we have set up for this entire year. We have a structure where you're going to get 52 lessons in 1 year, one lesson per week. That's the structure. Not only are we going to give you a class, but that class comes with an accompanying outline so that you can follow in the presentation of gospel truth. Now, not only is it structured, but it is going to be compartmentalized, which means that I have 12 categories or 12 subjects or 12 branches of theology that we're going to be looking at. There are 52 weeks, but there are 12 months. And I'm going to take 12 topics and discuss 12 topics in 12 months, one per month. Also, not only compartmentalize are we going to do this study, but also it's going to be systematic. In other words, it's based on a system of learning. It's based on a system of presentation. It's based on a system of assimilation, if you will. So as we go along, the first month will lead you right into the second month, and the second month will lead you into the third month. And so everything is laid out in order, systematic order. This will be an ongoing class that eventually will cause you to progress in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole reason for having a Sunday school class. We're just not having a class just to have a class. We're going somewhere. We want to accomplish something. At year's end, I want to make sure that I, like Paul, did my job that I gave unto you in a 12-month period, the whole counsel of God as it pertains to systematic theology. So, Roman numeral number one, which again is a review of what we talked about in our previous lesson, what are the two sources of theology? Well, the answer is sources of theology. Of course, God himself, in the final analysis, is the only fountain of truth and learning with regard to his own being and relationships. Theology is therefore a summing up and exposition of the content of God's self-revelations. The two sources of theology are, one, the revelation of God in nature, and two, the supreme self-revelation of God in the 66 books of sacred scripture. So, the second source of God's second revelation, or self-revelation, which is the 66 books of the Bible, that trumps and that supersedes the first source of revelation, which is undoubtedly limited. That first source of revelation from God is undoubtedly limited, not because God is limited in his revealing of himself, but because of sin in us. Sin. So, there's a picture of God, and God, again, is calling the universe into existence. This is the first picture on your left-hand side is God in Genesis 1 and 2, calling all things into existence. So, we have, first of all, we have the testimony of creation and providence. Creation is God bringing everything into existence, and then providence is God maintaining that and remaining as caretaker of the world he beautifully created. So that's the testimony of creation and providence. But there's the testimony of Holy Scripture, which is the 66 books of the Bible, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, and this is what we call revealed theology. So the first is natural theology. The second is revealed theology. Now, at the bottom of page one, there's a write-up here on natural theology. It reads, and this is new, natural theology is that which might be acquired through a study of nature. Through such study, man might easily come to the conviction that back of creation was a creator. For how otherwise could all things have been brought into being? Seeing the continuance of all things, he might conclude that the creator must also be a sustainer. And this is what we stated yesterday, that God is creator and what else? Caretaker. Here, the author calls God creator and sustainer. They're both the same. The quote goes on to say, unfortunately, because of sin in the world, instead of nature leading man to God, the opposite has taken place. Writing to the Romans, the apostle shows that through nature, the invisible God might be made known. For, writes Paul, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, Romans 1:20. But did this take place? Opposite became true. Instead of man being led through nature to God, he was led away from him, exchanging the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things, Romans 1:23. Instead of becoming a worshiper of God, man became a worshiper of nature, having made objects of nature his objects of worship. He sought to satisfy the desires of depraved nature and sank into unspeakable sin and degradation. And there are some examples. Here is a sampling of the gods of man. This is the gods of ancient Egypt. And look at all the variation of the different gods that they served. And this is what happened to man when, you know, of course, he has creation as a billboard. You know, creation is one big billboard telling you that there's a God who put all of this together and who sustains it. Yet because of sin, man's spiritual senses have become dull and he has plunged into idolatry. And as Paul says, he has worshipped the creature rather than the creator, who is to be blessed and worshipped forever and ever. Amen. So now, because natural theology cannot help man but so far, natural theology can only take man, sinful man, so far, there was a need for revealed theology. And this is where the Bible comes in. Because creation and providence could only speak to man so much. Now, remember, creation is not speaking in words, and creation is not writing us little letters. to tell us, or postcards to tell us, that God exists, but by observation, man can determine that there is a creator, because this universe is one big cosmic clock, and everything works to perfection. And if man begins to reason, and if he understands how he's made things to work to perfection, things just don't happen by chance. Things don't work to perfection by chance. Someone had to make that thing happen. And on a larger scale, on a universal scale, the person who made things happen is God. Not only did he bring it into existence, but he sustains it. He maintains the universe. He maintains the order in the universe. Everything works perfectly because God is in charge. That said, sinful man, whose mind is darkened by sin, cannot perceive that because, again, sin draws man away from God. It blinds his mind. It blinds his understanding and his reasoning. And in a depraved state, he turns to the creature and worships the creature rather than the creator. So there needs to be another revelation, another way of conveying to man what man needs to give back to God. So let's read the need for revealed theology. It says, since through nature man has basically fallen, there was need of a divine revelation that he might be directed back to God. There are also things which natural theology could not make known to man. Some examples of this include the fact of Some examples of this include the fact and nature of angels, both bad and good, the origin of moral evil in the world, and the redemption provided for sinful man through the efficacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here the author gives us three examples of why we need special revelation. Why? Well, first, nature, the world that we see, this world is a material world, the world that we see. There's other creations of God that are immaterial. And anything that God created that's immaterial, invisible. Now, we don't understand that. For example, angels are immaterial and invisible. We can't see them. So how would we know that there are angels? Not by looking at creation. Why? Because what we see is material. What we see, we can handle. We can pick up rocks. We can climb a tree. We can find water, search for water, find water. We can look for eggs. We can go hunting for deer. Why? Because these things we see. They're in nature. They're all around us. But there are some things in nature that man cannot see. God has created them, but they are immaterial, and as such immaterial, they are invisible. For example, you can see your body. You can touch your body, but you cannot touch your soul and your spirit. The soul and the spirit of man are two parts of man that are immaterial and invisible. You yourself, I mean, you can look at yourself and you can say, I'm the creation of God. But there's two parts of you that you cannot see, two parts of you you cannot touch, your spirit and your soul. Likewise, there are other things in the universe that are spiritual in nature, intelligent beings like angels, whom man cannot see unless they are commanded of God to reveal themselves. These are good angels and fallen angels. So by looking at nature, you would not know of the existence of angels. The second thing you wouldn't know by looking at nature is you wouldn't know the story of Adam and Eve. You wouldn't know how sin entered into the world. You wouldn't know about the serpent. You wouldn't know how the serpent beguiled Eve. you wouldn't know how the woman saw that the fruit was beautiful to look at, and she desired it, and she bit into the fruit and gave to her husband. You wouldn't know that story because you can't find that story anywhere in the stars. It's not printed in the stars. It's not on the moon. The moon is not telegraphing that story. The wind, when the wind howls, when the wind blows, the wind is not telling you that story. Nature does not reveal the fall of man. That part of Revelation is contained only in the Bible. Thus, the need for divine revelation or revealed theology. The third example that he gives us here is that we would not know of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the efficacy of his redemption if it weren't for scriptures. For it is the scriptures who tell the gospel story, not creation. If you were to go into the woods and pick up rocks, you're not going to find on any rock an inscribed track telling you that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're not going to go anywhere in this creation and find, by nature is testifying to the lordship and the salvation that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Again, that message must be found in revealed theology or divine revelation. So again, as you can see, there are things that man needs to know, and nature doesn't reveal them, so he's got to go to the second source of theology, and that second source of theology is the Bible. The Bible. So, and this is why if you go back to page one of your outline, here's the Bible, Old and New Testaments. 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. That is your revealed theology. So you have natural theology and you have revealed theology. Natural theology only tells you so much, and revealed theology gives you the rest of the story. So let's go to page number three, because on page three we have several categories of theology. Several categories of theology that proceed from the 66 books of the Bible. Okay, these come from a natural flow of the 66 books of the Bible. For example, you have Old Testament theology. Old Testament theology is the science of God, which is so designated because it is restricted to that portion of the Holy Scriptures indicated. What restricted portion of scripture is that? The 39 books of the Old Testament. So you can only get Old Testament theology by restricting your investigation to those 39 books, beginning with the first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, and ending with the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. That's where you derive your Old Testament theology. New Testament theology is that science of God, which is so designated because it is restricted to the portion of Holy Scripture indicated. What portion of Scripture is that? The 27 books of the New Testament. Now, then you have Petrine theology. This science of God is so designated because it is restricted to the portion of Holy Scripture indicated. The two epistles of St. Peter. Johannine theology. This science of God is so designated because it is restricted to the portion of the Holy Scriptures indicated. What portion is that? The gospel, the three epistles, and the apocalypse of John. It is restricted to the five inspired writings of St. John the Divine. Then you have Pauline theology. Pauline theology, this science of God is so designated because it is restricted to the portion of Holy Scripture indicated, the 13 epistles of St. Paul. So again, you can't read the epistles of John and say, this is Pauline theology. Why? Because Paul didn't write John's epistles. And therefore, you cannot say that that is Pauline theology. Neither can you take the book of Romans and say, well, I based my Petrine theology, my theology of Peter, based on Romans. Why? Because Peter didn't write Romans. Everything is restricted to a certain segment or portion of Scripture. Now, this is just a snippet of the different categories of theology. There are so many. There are so many. There are countless. But this is just a snippet of the different kinds of theologies that one studies and one presents to the church. All right, so now, point number three. Different branches of revealed theology or systematic theology. Okay, different branches. Now, remember, what is revealed theology? Revealed theology is that theology which comes from the 66 books of the Bible. So now we're gonna start to formulate our systematic study, and that's why it's called systematic theology. Because we are going to compartmentalize. We're going to put the different studies into categories. And this is what we're going to endeavor to do for the next 12 months. The different branches of revealed theology or systematic theology. The term systematic is used in our title. It is derived from sunesteno. Sunesteno. This is a Greek verb meaning to put together as a whole. Or to organize. This, of course, is exactly what is implied in the title systematic theology. It is an attempt to put together the whole system of thought found in the Bible or to organize the thoughts of the Bible into a unified system. Now, let's consider what systematic theology is. This science of God is so designated because it seeks to arrange, what does it do? It seeks to arrange biblical truth about God and his relationship with all his created universe into well-defined branches or categories. Again, this science of God is so designated because it seeks to arrange biblical truths about God and his relationship with all his created universe into well-defined branches or categories. The branches are at least 12 in total. And, of course, it's 12 in total because what we're doing here for the next 12 months is elemental theology. This is an introduction to this 12-month course is an introduction to systematic theology. So, what are the 12 branches? And I want you to put page 3 and 4 side by side. I want you to put page 3 and 4 side by side. And this is why it's so critical, so important, so vital for you to receive the outline, for you to have the outline on hand when we do this weekly Bible study. So again, look at on page 4, there's a theology tree, and my daughter Maggie drew this for me. I told her what I wanted, and this young lady, she put it together for me, and it's beautiful, and it expresses how I have compartmentalized, how I've taken every segment of theology and we put it on a branch. Now notice this tree is one whole tree. And this whole tree works together to bring forth revealed truth. You cannot overemphasize one branch and neglect the other 11. If you do that, you're gonna come up with wrong conclusions. It is a study of the whole. And this is why Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, he says, now you know how I did not fail to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. It is my job as pastor, it is my task to go with you through every one of these branches to painstakingly, and it's going to take us 52 weeks because the church, Grace Christian Church, has a statement of faith. For example, Grace Christian Church on a statement of faith talks about on revelation. Well, that's the Bible. Then it has B, on God. Well, that's theology proper. Then C, on creation. That, again, is theology proper. D, on humanity. That's anthropology. On Christ. E, Christology. F, on salvation. That's soteriology. G, on the spirit. That's pneumatology. H, on the church. That's ecclesiology. On ethics. Well, that's, again, ecclesiology. And then E or J on the end. So the church's statement of faith, although not arranged the way I'd have it here, is pretty much represented in this tree. And this is what we want to do. We want to cover it. We need for you to know it. Now, some of you already know it. Some of you are very well schooled, but this would be a good refresher course for many of you who have been in church for many years, and you know your theology. You know it. So now, here is number one, bibliology, the doctrine of the scriptures. That's January 2022. This is what we're going to be covering in January. For the remainder of January, we're going to be looking at the doctrine of the Bible. Bibliology, the doctrine of scripture. Come February, we're going to be talking about theology proper. Theology proper is primarily the doctrine of God the Father and some conversation about the Trinity. In March, we're going to be talking about Christology, the doctrine of Christ. In April, we're going to be talking about pneumatology, the doctrine of the what? Holy Spirit. So notice the order. We're going from left to right. We're going clockwork, right? We're going from left to right. We're starting out at the bottom branch, which is bibliology. That's the doctrine of the Bible. Now, why do we start with the doctrine of the Bible? Because the Bible, the 66 books, that is what? That is revealed theology. That's what we need to start, the Bible. We need to accept that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Bible is it's a communication from God to us. God is trying to speak to us. God is trying to get us to turn around from our sinful ways and to come back to Him. That's why He gave us the book called the Bible. Now, once we start reading the Bible, then the first person we come into contact with is God the Father. The second person, if you're going clockwise, you're going bibliology first, then theology proper, which is God the Father. We turn to Christology, which is God the Son, and pneumatology, the Holy Spirit. Right there in the first quarter, or in the first 4 months, better said, in the first 4 months, we would have covered the Trinity. And we need to know the Trinity. We need to know what the Scripture says about the Trinity. Who God the Father is, who God the Son is, and who God the Holy Spirit is. Now, after we finish with the Holy Spirit pneumatology, then in the month of May, we're going to talk about angels. We're only going to talk about good angels, what the Bible calls elect angels. Electing, the doctrine of elect or good angels. That's in the month of May. As you know, there was a rebellion among the angels. Satan rebelled and he took with him a bunch of angels. So the next branch is Satanology. Who is Satan? Well, again, Satanology. Who is Satan? Satan is God's arch enemy. And by default, he's our arch enemy. So you go from angels, who were once all good until Satan decided to rebel. And from Satanology, we move to demonology. Satanology is where we spend an entire month talking about the prince of demons, the prince of devils, if you will, and then followed by a discussion, a monthly discussion, on what demons are. What are demons? Well, they're fallen angels. They are what the Bible calls reprobate angels. So demons, followed by now, once we finish again with angels, good and bad, in 3 months, we're going to devote 3 months to angels, good and bad, after having devoted 3 months to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then after that, we're going to talk about anthropology. Anthropology is the doctrine of man. That will be covered in the month of August. Man, who is man? God created man, and God created man perfect and upright. But then soon after, man rebelled against God and fell into sin. As a result of falling into sin, now we have to deal with the subject called harmartheology. Harmartheology is the doctrine of sin. Once we present the doctrine of sin, then that is followed by God's offer of salvation, which is now soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. You see how everything has a logical flow? This whole tree, it flows logically. And that is the purpose of the systematic theology class. Remember, if you go back to page one, let me read it to you again. Let me read it to you again. Look at your introduction on page one. The introduction reads, the need to study, we're looking at the introduction, page one. It says, the need to study theology or what the Bible has to say about God in a structured, the tree represents the structure, compartmentalize, each branch is a category, systematic, we're going to go little by little, step by step. And as we go, it will be ongoing and what? Progressive. We're not going to stay on the doctrine of Scripture for the whole year. No, after we finish with the doctrine of Scripture, we move on. We progress to theology proper. Once we finish with theology proper in February, we move on. We progress to Christology in the next month, the month of March. Then once we finish with Christology in the month of March, we progress to pneumatology in the month of April. And that's how we're going to make our little pilgrimage through this entire tree until we get to soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Now, once people start getting saved, what happens? A church is formed. This is why the next class in November will be the doctrine of the church or ecclesiology. And what happens to all these people who get saved? Well, they get to go to heaven. That's eschatology, or the doctrine of future things. So notice the progression. First, we have the book that reveals God. It's called the Bible. We need to know what the Bible is. Once we start reading the Bible, we bump into God, a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then we find out why there's so much trouble in the world, because there is a Satan. And this Satan rebelled, and he took with him a third of the angels, and then he went into the Garden of Eden and caused the fall of Adam and Eve, anthropology, followed by the doctrine of sin, harmartheology, followed by the doctrine of salvation, which is soteriology, followed by the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology, followed by the doctrine of last things. So this is very easy to understand, but all of it will come from the Bible, and the Bible has to be what? Rightly divided. And this is what we're going to do, saints, for the next couple of months. Well, for the whole year. We're just going to spend all of our time in breaking this down. And, of course, it's not an exhaustive study because when you go to a Bible college or a seminary, there is a theology proper 1 and 2. Each theology proper course is 15 weeks long, and you go into a class, and each class, which is 15 weeks, there's a class each of the 15 weeks. Each class is an hour and a half. So it's 90 minutes of training for 15 weeks, and that's just Theology Proper 1. Then there's Theology Proper 2. Now, again, that is in an undergraduate level. That you study systematic theology at a bachelor's level. Then when you're going for your master's in divinity, you have to study theology, systematic theology at a master's level. Then when you go for your doctorate in theology, there you go again. It's all these doctrines again, but now at a higher level. So you have the undergraduate, and you have the two graduate levels, the master's and the doctoral program. And so this is Sunday school. We're not devoting 15 weeks, or excuse me, we're not devoting 30 weeks to theology proper. We're only devoting 4 weeks. And 4 weeks being just 1 hour per week. So this is just an introduction to these classes, but this is what I have to give the sheep that I pastor. This is what I'm required. As Paul says here in Acts 20:17, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Everything that has to do with God and his relationship to his creatures, I did not withhold from you. I made it plain. I presented it to you. I taught it. I lectured on it. And you received it. And therefore, you can't say that I, Paul, did not do what I was supposed to do. I was faithful in doing my job as shepherd. And so this is going to be wonderful. I'm going to love this. I hope that you would join me each and every week as we make our way through these classes. And, of course, at another point, we'll teach this on a higher level. But for right now, for the first year as pastor, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, again, take our time, go slow, present as much as we can, and hopefully by the end of the year, when we are out in the street witnessing and we bump into Jehovah's Witnesses, we're going to know the doctrines of Scripture so that when they present error, we'll say to them, no, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, first and foremost, you have a translation that's not even a Bible. The New World's Translation that you guys call a translation is not an approved Bible. It is an inferior translation of the Bible, which we reject because, again, the translation is completely erroneous and slanted against the person and work of Jesus Christ. So when you're testifying to Mormons or to Jehovah's Witnesses or to whatever group you encounter as you testify for Jesus Christ, if you know your theology, you'll be able to make a wonderful presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to bring people to the saving knowledge of our Lord, which is what it's really all about. That's why we want to know the Bible. This is why we need to know theology so that we can know the Bible. We can know God. We can know how to present the Bible, present Bible truths, present the gospel in order to bring men and women to the saving knowledge of Christ. That's the bottom line. It's not to say that we know this and we know that, because what good is it if we know it but we don't impact anyone with it? So I'm going to enjoy this, and I hope and pray that you will also. Again, if you need the outlines, and everyone's going to need them, please email me at gccpastor2021@gmail.com, gccpastor2021@gmail.com. I want to close today's Sunday school lesson with this beautiful song, When We All Get to Heaven. Everyone's familiar with this beautiful hymn. And I will see you again tomorrow, Monday, to continue with our Manna from Heaven teaching series, which comes to us by means of Deuteronomy 33:25. And then, of course, I will see you again next Sunday for our first class on the Bible, our first class on the subject of bibliology. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Sing the wonder.